All right, back at the Advanced Selling Podcast, Bill Caskey.
Brian Neal, did you see me pointing at the camera?
I did see that. We are on film today for some odd reason.
Boys on film. You know who sings Girls on Film, Bill?
No, I don't.
Music trivia. See, this is where the only way I can overcome you in music trivia is to go 80s.
It's to go 80s.
I go 80s on you.
Oh, we know that. Yeah.
Girls on Film. Producer Jill, do you know who sang Girls on Film? Man. If any of you listening know who sang Girls on Film, put it on
the
LinkedIn group.
We're going to make this a contest.
Yep, we'll make it a contest. Girls on Film. There, I just sang it. I even gave you a hint.
I don't know. No idea. But what I do know is that we got an email from a very loyal listener after our last podcast.
Okay.
And he referenced something that happened in the extra, you know,
the back roll
when Dave Dugan comes back on.
Yeah.
And I want to play you the music that is played on the extra.
Okay.
And then I want you to guess what he might have thought when he heard this music.
Okay. Right.
So,
okay.
So here's the music.
I'm ready.
Just let it play for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I will. I got it.
Okay.
I think I got it.
Okay.
Is that it?
Uh-huh. What did he think? What, do you know who he thought
this was? He thought, my guess. Can I guess?
Yeah.
I think I know. Educated guess.
Okay.
I'm Tom Bodart, and we'll leave the light on for you. Is that
right.
it?
That's
Motel
right.
6?
Because listen to the last part. Listen.
Oh, it is. I'm Tom Bodett.
And so
we'll leave the light on for
Mike
you.
Siggers from
that is fantastic.
Louisville said, how'd you get Tom Bodett on there? Because Dave Dugan, in his extra role, he pots it down
right
a little
down,
bit.
Yeah.
And then with that music, Mike thought we had Tom Bodett. But I'll leave the lights on. Yeah,
we need to figure out who Tom – I mean, I know who Tom Bodett is, and those of you across the pond may not know. He's a guy who does commercials for a motel chain here called Motel 6, right?
I think he's just a spokesperson.
Is he?
I don't think he's –
Good enough. That was beautiful.
But anyway.
I'm Tom Bodett. I bet we can find on Fiverr a guy who will imitate
who
Tom
will
imitate, Bodett.
That's right.
And put him on here.
The same guy that does Morgan
Freeman.
I'm Tom
Bodett, and this is the Advanced Selling Podcast. Go ahead.
Okay. We got mailbag today. We've had some great questions that have come in, have poured in from our listeners all
Speaking
over the place.
Speaking of pouring.
Yeah.
It's raining cats and dogs here.
It
the drought's over,
raining.
Isn't it? Drought's over. Okay.
Oh, it'll come back.
Yep.
I'm going to give you the questions. There's two of them here. One is on call reluctance, and one is on how to articulate the value to command a premium price or a higher price.
Okay.
So let's take Tommy's first from Richmond, Virginia. I'm in digital sales, and I have a question about call reluctance.
Yeah.
What suggestions do you have for overcoming it, avoiding it, preventing it, learning from it?
Wow.
Thanks for all you do with the podcast. Here's a check for $1,000.
Thank you, Tommy.
I find it to be quite helpful.
We'll split that between the three of us. That's fantastic. Thank you.
So what do you think about call reluctance? Because it seems like we used to talk about that a lot more than we have lately.
We did.
And I don't know if it's because social media, we don't have any call reluctance anymore, or we're just not making any phone calls.
It could be a little bit of both. One thing I would like to know from Tommy, and I don't know if he'll email us back and let us know. The question, is he asking for himself or is he asking for a friend?
Oh, a friend.
I got a friend
who's
suffering from call reluctance.
Who's paralyzed by it.
I'm guessing it's him. It's this great thing. So when I am coaching a client and we're having this experience go on, it's important for me, number one, inner game-wise, mentality, to figure out what exactly that caused this. And I think it's important for the individual to reflect on themselves and understand as best they can what it is that keeps them from engaging in outbound call activity.
Mm-hmm.
What is that coming from? Some simple things that I've seen occur. One is the rejection element. So people don't like to engage in phone calls because they don't like the getting hung up on part, and it's kind of a grind.
Yeah,
if you go and you make 20 outbound calls, and it's hard work, and then when you do find someone, they say, no, thanks. Erica, who just started with us, was making some cold calls yesterday and got asked, well, is this a sales call? And she said, well, yeah, absolutely it is. And they said, well, we don't take sales calls here. Click.
Yeah.
She is fazed none by that.
Yeah.
A lot of people are. I am. I suffer from this.
Wait a minute. Wait. Oh, okay. It's not them.
Is that the phone? Hello.
This phone just got heavier. It weighs 1,000 pounds.
So that's one thing is the negative feedback. The other thing that I think is common is a bit of a judgment or confidence. It's a fear of being judged by others. So what I'll see in my clients, this just happened. One of my clients moved, and they all had offices. And when they moved, now they all have cubes. Or you're not allowed to say cubes. You say workstations.
So
they're
all
workstations, open air.
Yeah.
And some of them could care less. They're just like, push, 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 making calls. Others hate it. Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is their voice drops down when they get on the phone. They go like this, talk real soft. Or they go into a conference room. That to me is a fear of being judged by others.
By others, yeah.
And so whether you're being judged by peers around you listening or you're being judged by the person on the other end of the phone, which I also think is part of it, that also
causes
I think. So there are a couple causes, I think, of the thing. And do you have anything cause-wise?
Yeah, I think that I always feel like we have to look at when you fear something like that, what's really happening inside your mind that's causing that, and can we reframe that in some way? You know, I went to a workshop over the weekend with a guy named Bo Eason, and he's a speech therapist. He kind of is a therapist in a way, but he teaches you how to perform on stage a little bit better and how to deliver better content. And he talks about being generous with your presentation or with your content. I think that's the same thing in sales. I think the more generous we are by making this call to a person we don't know and offering to talk to them, offering to meet with them, that's really a form of generosity versus a form of coercion where we're calling you, trying to get you to see me and get you to buy from me. And I think if we reframe the cold call away from coercion and persuasion to more, look, I'm just making this call out of generosity, out of a courtesy to see if you're interested in this. If you are, fine. If you're not, fine. That way you kind of take call reluctance out of it because you take rejection out of it.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Another tactical thing I think to do that will help you with this is if you think about people that you would call and your comfort level to those people, and you think of a cold phone call is where you're for me, that's a 10 out of 10 on anxiety.
Yeah.
I hate to do it. I don't like it. I get all anxious. I have to psych up. Then I pick up the phone and then I go. And then as I start to move backwards from there, I go, well, I can cold call a referral source really easily. That's okay with me. Not super easy, but I can do that. So I can call a connector or referral source or someone that's maybe adjacent to what I'm doing. Next up is I can call people that I do business with really easily and talk to them about introductions. And then third, I can easily call all of my friends, my good friends that I know from college and high school. And so when you look at the different degrees, think about how you can leverage that and spend time
the
places where you are the most comfortable.
That's right.
Right? Where you say, I can, here is where I get the biggest bang for my buck leverage-wise, and I'm the most comfortable, and spend most of your time in that arena.
Yeah, because you'll be better at that. You're
sure.
Better at that introduced phone call because you don't have that anxiety that's inside your gut and inside your throat and your voice tells it.
Yeah, I think the key thing is you can't let the anxiety get in the way of the action. And that's where this really, really costs people money. You've got to find a way to do – you have to do the action. All of us have to do the behavior. We have to be out and talk to people. You just have to help yourself do it in the most comfortable way possible so that you'll do the action. That's the main thing. It's like if the workout is too hard, you won't come back and do it a second time. I've got to wait, make the workout hard enough for you to sweat and build muscle and – easy enough that you'll want to come back and
enjoy
it again.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That nice
good.
Little edge there. All right. We got
good. Okay. Very good, Tommy.
Good.
Thanks for your question.
Good stuff.
Here's Marcelo from Australia.
Where?
He says, I've been listening. Right here.
Marcelo. Oh, there you go.
The solutions we sell and the value we provide are the best in the market. As a result, we're also more expensive than what our competitors are. While I can articulate the value and even get a verbal buy-in from my prospects, how can I get them to overlook the higher cost to buy from us? How can I demonstrate value without them ever having used us before? Mm. It's unbelievably frustrating when my prospects agree that our offering is better, but I'm still happy to settle for the cheaper option.
That's too bad.
That's good.
Yep. I'd go work for the cheaper company. That's what I do, Marcelo.
As long as you don't have call reluctance.
Yeah, just head over there. See, I'd really want to sell something cheap that doesn't work very well. I think it'd be easier. No, we wouldn't do that.
No.
Okay. Got something there? You're drawing.
I am. He says here in the first paragraph, paragraph one, line three, he says, how can I get them to overlook the higher cost to buy from us?
Yes.
And I don't know. That's a conclusion. Now, it may be the higher price, but a lot of times the cost and the price are two different things. The cost, if you look at the total cost of owning a thing, the total cost might be cheaper, but I might have to pay more to get it. So I think I'd be careful about assuming that to the customer, this is a higher cost. It might be a higher price up front, but it might be a lower cost over the life.
Very good. Funny that you picked that sentence because I picked that
Did
sentence
you really?
Up. May I?
Yeah,
write
sure.
It,
do you want to write?
I'm going to circle. Marcelo said this word, how do I get them to overlook the high cost?
Uh-huh.
That to me sounds like
this whole line was very important.
It was very. That's a very, very good. Let's save that and post it up on the web. Here's an interesting thing: when people have this premium product that is premium priced, premiumly priced, that's probably not a word. I want to coach you to own that fact.
Yeah,
own it. Don't hide from it. and everyone wants to go here. Everyone wants to go, how do I slide it in? Or how do I get him to see it or pay real attention to it? Yeah. Or like, oh my gosh, I just looked at my invoice and this is more than I thought it was going to be. I want you to own that and be proud of it because people buy the energy of that. There, I want you to think about this. And yeah, be careful with this. Almost think of like being a little snobbish about it, right? Think about it like, you know, if you can't afford my thing, we don't want you here. If you have to ask how much the price is, you can't afford it. Yeah. And be real careful with that. I'm just trying to demonstrate for you the mentality to carry with you to say we make no bones about the fact that we are really good and we are really expensive relative to some of our competitors. And we know that that's going to cause a lot of people to say what this person says, which is you are really good and we just can't afford you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you own that and you say that. Don't let them say that. And you think, how do I overcome that?
Mm-hmm.
Own that part. And if you get more efficient with stuff like this, I think the vetting process needs to happen sooner for you. And so people need to qualify themselves sooner and more strongly. I'm screwing up my adverbs today.
Stronger. Mm-hmm.
Than if you're in the mid-tier price point. Does that make sense?
Does to me.
Own it.
Marcelo, does it to you?
Don't fear of it. Don't be afraid of it. And go be a little bit more efficient up front on the vetting process. Mm-hmm. That's what I do on that.
I learned something from what you just said there, and I wrote this down. And this could be a quote on Pinterest anytime now.
Yeah, we'll post this on Pinterest. This is nice. Very postable. This is nice.
It is. And that is, if you're afraid of it, embrace it.
Ooh.
And if you're afraid of this price conversation, what you just did was exactly that. You embrace it. You say, this is me. This is our whole offering here. And then you don't get afraid of it. And also, look at this. I circled another word in this line. And we get this question a lot. How do you get the prospect to see this? How do you get them to this?
Yeah.
I don't think you get somebody to do anything. I think all you can control is your actions in the process. And if what you do creates a situation where they get to a different place, then that's great.
That's awesome.
That whole idea of how do I get someone to see my value? How do I get someone to pay more? You have to get out of that mindset because I think then it sets you up for the burden of getting you to a certain place.
No doubt.
I don't think you can do it.
It's good. Marcelo, that's a game changer, dude. You got to listen to that over and over again.
Yeah.
Your game will change if you do what we talked about.
It's good.
Right,
it's a $1 million idea, Marcelo.
Right, way to go, man. Mm-hmm. Good day.
All right. Well, we want to hear more questions from our listeners. And I know Brooke is along every once in a while to take some of the LinkedIn questions.
Yeah.
And hope you enjoyed that.
Go to our LinkedIn group, Advanced Selling Podcast on LinkedIn. The numbers are continuing to grow. And great discussions on there. And find us on Twitter, B. Neal.
Bill Caskey.
Follow us there. Yeah. And connect to us on LinkedIn.
All right. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
This podcast presented by Caskey, leaders in sales training and executive coaching. Do you know someone who is just awful at sales? Would you like to help them? We'll pass this podcast on, but be subtle about it. Tell them that you can't imagine how it might help them, but out of courtesy, you thought you'd share it with them.